B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psochim Daf Gimel. We're going to start the last line of Daf Beis Amud Beis. We're in the middle of learning the Gemara. The Mishnah started Oyer L'Arba Osor, that whenever Oyer is on the 14th of Nisan, that's when they would be Boit Kenes HaChometz. They would search the homes for chometz. We're just trying to understand, what does Oyer mean? So we had in the Gemara, Rav Huna said Oyer means day, Nogi. Nogi, which is the light time, which is day. Rav Yehuda says Leilia means night. And then we had about 10 or 11 different proofs on Daf Beis whether Oyer actually means day or whether it means night. And the Gemara more or less came to the conclusion at the bottom of Daf Beis Amud Beis that Oyer means evening. And we're going to continue with another couple of proofs. Says the Gemara, Meisvei Marzutra. Marzutra is asking the following question. Hamapeles Oyer Lishmoinim Ve'echod. And just to introduce what we're talking about here, we know that in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, when a woman would have a baby, where after she had a baby girl, after 80 days from the birth, on day 81, then she would bring a korban in the Beis Hamikdash, a korban yoledes. There's another halacha that any blood that she saw in the first 80 days are considered dam toihar. They are pure, they are not tomei. And the blood she sees from the night of the 81st day is regular dam, and she can become tomei from it. And obviously there's lots of different halachas. Many of them do not apply nowadays without a Beis Hamikdash, but that's the basic halachas. And if a woman has a baby boy, the halachas are a little bit different, the dates are a bit different. But here we're discussing a woman who had a baby girl. Then two things happen at the end of the 80th day. Number one, the blood that she sees is tomei, if she sees any. And number two, that she can bring a korban. There's one difference being that one cannot bring a korban in the night time. She can only bring the korban on the day of the 81st day. There's another halacha, that a woman that has a child, or she wouldn't have a child in 80 days, but a miscarriage after 40 days of conception is considered a birth in this context. So if a woman actually gave birth or miscarried within the first 80 days, then she does not have to bring two korban yoledes, she just brings one. If, however, she miscarries after day 80, and that means after the point that she could have already and should have already brought the korban yoledes for the first baby that she had, then she would have to then bring a second korban. So in the event that day 81 arrived, and for whatever reason, good or other, she's not yet brought her korban for the first child that she had, then now she would have to wait till she becomes tohir, and then she would have to bring two korbanis in the Beis Hamikdash. The question is now, what happens if she miscarries on the night of 81? That means the 80 days are over. It's now the night of 81, and she miscarries. What's the halacha? It's machlekes tanoim hamapeles, a woman who miscarries oyer l'shmoinim ve'echod. And this is actually why we're bringing this here. Oyer l'shmoinim ve'echod here means the night of 81, the 81st night. Beis Shammai poitrin mikorban. Beis Shammai say that since she could not yet bring the korban for the first child, even though 80 days have passed, but since she cannot bring a korban at night, she can only bring a korban in the day of 81, the night is still considered, regarding the halachas of korban, are still considered as before the ability to bring a korban, and therefore she does not need to bring a second korban. This is actually, Beis Shammai actually speaks this out explicitly in Maseches Krisus on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. Beis Hillel say that if a woman miscarries within 80 days, then she doesn't have to bring a second korban. But as from the end of the 80th day, she has to bring another korban. Omru Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel asked on Beis Shammai two questions. Number one, Maishna Oyer Shmoinim mi Shmoinim Ve'echod, mi Yoim Shmoinim Ve'echod. Where do we ever find a difference in halacha between the night and the day after it? The night is always the beginning of the day and share the same halachas. And if you, Beis Shammai, clearly agree that if she miscarried on day 81, she has to bring a second korban, then if she miscarries on the night of 81, the same should be true. as we've discussed, Beis Shammai have a good answer for this. Beis Shammai say that in the night of the 81, she cannot bring a korban because one does not bring korbanos at night. But this was Beis Hillel's question to Beis Shammai. A second question Beis Hillel asked Beis Shammai, Im shiva loy letuma lo yishve loy lekorban, if the day and the night share the same halachas regarding tuma, that the blood she saw from the beginning of the night of 81 is blood which is tomei, that means in Hilchas Tumah we compare the night to the day. Are we not going to compare the night to the day regarding a korban? And in the same way as in the day, if she miscarries in the day, she has to bring another korban. The same will apply if she miscarries at night. So that's the end of this Mishnah, that as far as we need here. And the Gemara says, Midukoma Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, from the fact that the term that Beis Hillel used, Maishna Oyer Shmoinim Ve'echod, Miyoim Shmoinim Ve'echod, that Beis Hillel said, what's the difference between Oyer Shmoinim Ve'echod, meaning the night, and Yoim Shmoinim Ve'echod, the day, Shma Mino, it's clear from here, Oyer Urto, that the term Oyer is used for the night, not for the day, proof to what Rav Yehuda said at Daf Beis, Omud Aleph. Shma Mino, indeed, this is another proof. Another proof, says the Gemara, may say we're going to ask from the following brisa. Yochil yehei nechal oyer lishlishi. Now we know that different korbanos are allowed to be eaten for different lengths of time. For example, a korban toida is eaten for one day and one night. The day it's shechted, or the day that it's brought up, and the night after it, after which the korban or anything that's left of the toida becomes noisor and gets burnt immediately the following day. A korban shlomim, for example, is eaten the day it's shechted, the night after, the second day, and that's it. At the end of the second day, it becomes noisor. However, we do not burn it at the end of the second day. If there's anything left over, the noisor gets burnt the next day, the third day. The Gemara asks, Yochil yehei nechal, oyer lishlishi, I may have thought that a shlomim is also allowed to be eaten not only in the night between day 1 and day 2, but should also be eaten the night after day 2. V'dinhu, and I'll prove it to you. Zvachim, other korbanos, for example, a toida, necholim leyoim echod, are eaten for one night, for one day. Ushlomim necholim leshnei yomim, and shlomim are eaten 2 days. Ma la'alon, in the same way as toida, for example, laylo acha yoim, the night after the day, it can also be eaten, afkan laylo acha yoim, maybe with a shlomim that can be eaten for 2 days, it can also be eaten the night after that second day. Talmud Leima, for that the Gemara brings a posuk, b'yoim zivchachem yeochil, umimochoros, v'hanoisor yoim ashlishi bo'eshi sorif. So the Gemara says from here, you see that ba'oid yoim hu nechal, it says ba'yoim zivchachem yeochil umimochros, it's only allowed to be eaten in daytime. Ve'ein nechal lo'oir shlishi. Here again, the word oir is used, it cannot be eaten on the night of the third day, that's the night after the second day. The Gemara says, okay, so we understand the shlomim cannot be eaten on that third night, it can be eaten day, night, day, that's it. Yochel yisorif miyad. Maybe the moment that the time that you can eat it, the end of the second day, is over, you burn the noisor immediately on the night, that third night. But dinhu, and I can prove that to you, I have logic to dictate that, that zvachim necholim v'yoyim v'laylo. Take a toido, for example, it's eaten a day and a night. V'laylo echod, on one night. Ushlomim necholim l'shnei yomim v'laylo echod. And shlomim is eaten for 2 days and the night in between the two. Ma lahalon, in the same way as regarding the toida, teichef la'achilas reifa, immediately after the end of the time that you're allowed to eat it, you can burn it. You can eat it a day and a night, and the morning following that night, you burn it. Afkan so to shlomim, teichef la'achilas reifa. You can eat it for day, night, day, the end of that day, the beginning of that third night, or the beginning of the night of that third day, you can eat. You should be able to burn it straight away. Talmud Leima, for that the Gemara brings it. The Braisa brings another pasuk. V'hanoisor mipsar hazevach b'yoyim ashlishi bo'eshi sorif b'yoyim atasorif yatasorif b'alayla. We learn out from a pasuk that burning of noisor, of a korban that's left over beyond the time that you can eat it, is only done during the day, not during the night. That's the end of this braisa. So midrash omar yehi nechal oyer lishlishi. Since the term used is that we're talking about eating this korban on oyer lishlishi, which is the night of that third day, alma oyer urtu. So you see clearly that the word oyer, the term oyer, is used for night, not for day. Shema mino. This is another proof, like Rav Yehuda said. Tashma. We're going to bring another proof. Oyer shel yom kippurim. What happened? This is now discussing the tefillos of the amount of brachos we say in the different tefillos on Yom Kippur. So the Oyer shel Yom Kippurim, referring to the Ma'ariv, the evening when Yom Kippur commences, the first Ma'ariv, Mispalel Sheva. It has seven brachos in it. The three brachos at the beginning of every Shemoneh Esrei, the three brachos like the end of every Shemoneh Esrei, and the one bracha in the middle, which is Yom Kippur, what we call the Yom Kippur davening. Or misvadem, besides for the Shemoneh Esrei, the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, he says vidui, and we all know this from the Yom Kippur Marza. Shachris, mispalil sheva, or misvadem. Shachris also has seven brachas and a vidui at the end. B'musaf, mispalil sheva, or misvadem. Musaf also has seven brachas with vidui at the end. B'mincha, mispalil sheva, or misvadem. Mincha also has seven brachas and vidui at the end. And in other in Maseches Yuma and Maseches Nida, there's actually the version here. If the Braisa is added on, then Neila Mispalel Sheva Misvada. We all know there's a Tefillah of Neila. For some reason, in Maseches Psochim here, it's not mentioned. And Ba'arvis, when it comes and Ma'ariv following Yom Kippur, Mispalel Me'en Sheva Asar. You daven an abridged version of Shmoneh Esrei. Reb Chanina ben Gamliel Oymir Mishum Avayisav. Reb Chanina ben Gamliel says in the name of his ancestors that Mispalil Shmoyne Esra Shleimois, you do not daven an abridged version of the Shmoyne Esra, rather a full Shmoyne Esra. Why? Mipnei Shetzarech Leimar B'Havdola B'Chaynin Hadas. In the fourth bracha of Shmoyne Esra, the first of the middle 12 brachas, you have to say, which is the bracha of Atochinin La'odom Das, you have to say Havdola because it's Motzi Yom Kippur. And whenever there's an addition in one of the brachas, you cannot say the abridged version of the Shmoneh Esrei. This is a topic discussed in Maseches Brachos. Alma. So the Gemara says, from the fact that this we started with Oyer Shel Yom Kippurim, referring to the night of Yom Kippur, Alma Oyer Urtuhu. So we see that the word Oyer, the term Oyer, is used for night, not for day, like Rav Yehuda, not like Rav Huna. Toshma, the Toni de Beis Shmuel. In the Beis Medrash of Shmuel, they learn the following braisa. Leil arba osor boit kenes achometz. In our Mishnah, it just said oyer la arba osor, and we're trying to work out when this is. But in the braisa by Shmuel, it said clearly that in the night of the 14th, boit kenes achometz leoyer haneir, they would search for chometz using the light of a candle. Alma oyer urtu. So you see clearly that the word oyer in our Mishnah, which corresponds to the halacha mentioned in that braisa, is night, not day. Elo, and this is the conclusion of this long sugya, bein Rav Huna, bein Rav Yehuda, dekule alma oyer urtahu. There is no machlokes whatsoever, and everybody agrees that the word oyer in our Mishnah, oyer l'arba'os or boit kenes ha-chometz, is the night of the 14th of Nisan, we all do bedikas chometz. So what was the machlokes? The Gemara said, my oyer, Rav Huna omar noki, Rav Yehuda omar leili. What was that machlokes all about? V'loi pligi. They're not arguing as per the halacha. Everybody understands that the word oyer is referring to the night. Marki asrei or marki asrei. The Rav Huna's place and Rav Yehuda's place, they had a different term with which they referred to night. But asrei de Rav Huna, koru nogi. In the place of Rav Huna, they referred to night with the term nogi, which normally means light. It's interesting because a blind person is called sagi nohor, somebody who's got an overabundant eyesight, and really we mean the other way around. So very often we use one extreme when referring to the other extreme. So nighttime, which is actually dark, they called it light. In the place of Rabbi Yehuda, they called night, laila. V'tana didon, ma'ita maloik toni laila. Okay, so we know that in Rav Huna's place, oyer, which is night, is called nogi. In Rav Yehuda's place, oyer, which is night, is called laila. But oyer in the Mishnah is night. Why didn't our Tana just say night? And Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda's place, they will be discussing whether night is referred to as night or night is referred to as nogi. But why does the Mishnah use the term oyer and not use the term night? Ma'itam alayk toni laila, says the Gemara, lishna ma'al yahu. Even though there's nothing wrong with dark, but relative to darkness, light is that little bit more upbeat, a little bit more refined. And we know that there's a rule that one should always use a more refined, positive form of expression. Lishna ma'al yahu denokat ukadu Rav Yeshua ben Levi, as to Omer Rav Yeshua ben Levi, le'oilom al yoytze odom dova maguna mipiv, a person should make sure to never let come out of his mouth any derogatory or coarse term, and you should always use the most refined language and terms. Shahari, where do we find proof to that? Ikem ha'kosuv shmoina oisyeis, the posuk, where we know in our Torah every single letter is counted and is in place. There's nothing by chance. There's no poetic license. There's no, it's all there. Every letter is exactly where it has to be for a very good reason. And nonetheless, the posuk deviated and added on shmoina oisyeis, an extra 8 whole letters in the Torah. V'lohoitzi davar maguna mipiv. And the Torah also, so to speak, has a mouth. And the mouth of the Torah, the terms the Torah uses, in order to avoid using a derogatory term, the Torah added on an extra 8 letters. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, referring to animals, we're talking about animals that are tohir, animals that are not tohir. And the Pasuk says, min ha-behemo ha-tohira, tohir animals, u-min ha-behemo asha-einenu tohira. And those, it doesn't say, u-min ha-behemo ha-tomeo, and tome animals. It says, min habeimo asher eineno tohiro, which is a whole load of extra letters there. And if you count the difference in letters between hatameo and the letters asher eineno tohiro, you'll see it's 8 extra letters. In Parashas Noach, Noach was told that the animals that are eineno tohiro will come into the teva. Why did the Torah go out of its way and add 8 letters? Just to teach us that one should use a refined term. Rav Papa Omar, Rav Papa says even more than that. Not only 8 letters, but 9 letters. There's an extra letter someplace in the Torah. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Ki yeh v'cho ish asher lo yeh tohir mikre laila. And it will be if there's a man, asher lo yeh tohir, he will not be tohir. Mikre laila, because of an incident that happened to him in the night. V'yotzo el mechutz l'machne lo yovil teich ha'machne. So these words, asher lo yeh toir, if you count the difference in letters between had it said, ki yeh b'cho ish tome, and the Torah didn't say tome, it says asher lo yeh toir, you'll find there's an extra 9 letters. Ravina Omer, Ravina says even more than that, eser, he says there's an extra 10 letters there because vovd toir. You'll notice the word toir could have been written without a vov, and then it would be just 9 extra letters. But the Torah writes it with a vov, so it's actually 10 extra letters, all for the sake of teaching us that one should always speak in a refined way. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omar, 16. Rav Acha bar Yaakov found a place where the Torah actually deviates 16 letters. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, which is what he really wanted to say, what he could have said, that an incident of tumah happened to him. But it doesn't say mikre tomehu, it says mikre hu bilti tohir hu ki loy tohir. All these extra words talking about the absence of purity rather than tumah. It was 16 letters out, just to teach us to always speak in refined terms. Continues the Gemara, Tanya de Beir Bishmoel. Lo'olam yesaper odom beloshen nekiya, a person should always speak in refined language, in refined terms. Shaharei bezov koroi merkav, ube'isha koroi moishav. And what this means is as follows. We know there's a halacha, and in this aspect, the halachas of zov and zov are similar. That if they lean, walk, sit, lie on any suitable, on anything suitable for sitting, lying, etc., then those items become tumas. It's called tumas merkav, tumas moishov, which is a very serious, a severe type of tumah. And when the pasuk speaks about the zov, which is the male tumah of ziva, then the Torah calls what he's lying, what he's sitting on, he calls it merkav. However, when it speaks about a zova, which is a woman, it doesn't speak about merkav, riding on, in this case we're talking about the saddle, if somebody is riding on a saddle on an animal that's suitable for sitting on, and it will become Tumas Merkav. With a woman, it doesn't speak about Merkav, it speaks about Moishav, sitting on. We don't refer to a woman as riding on an animal. And the Mefarshim seem to explain here that, of course, a woman would go on an animal, but Merkav, the way people, they ride animals, they actually separate their feet, one foot on one side of the animal, one foot on the other side of the animal. And that's okay with a man. With a woman, seeing the separation between her legs is immodest. And therefore, when women would go on animals, they would actually not ride on the animal, they would sit on the animal. Their 2 feet would be together, and they would sit sidewards on the top of the animal. And even though the Merkav and the Moishav, whether it's a seat on the animal or it's a saddle on the animal, either way, the halachas are the same. But the Torah goes out of its way to mention with a woman, it's a Moishav, it's a seat. She doesn't sit as a man would on a saddle. So you see from there that it's a Lashon Nekiyah. Vo'omer, there's another pasuk that says, a pasuk in Iyov, ki alef avoincho. V'tivchar l'shoin arumim means that the wise people should choose their language and choose it to be in a refined form. V'omer is another pasuk that says, Yoisher libi amorai v'das fosai boru mileilu. So the words v'das fosai boru mileilu means that with refined knowledge, my lips will utter, my lips will express. So you see that knowledge should be expressed in a refined way. Asks the Gemara, Mai v'oimer. In this braisa of Tanya Deberi Bishmoel, we have three psukim. We have the Zov, the psukim in the Torah, of Ziva, of Zova, with a Moishav, not Merkav. We have the pasuk of Tivchar L'shein Arumim. We have the pasuk of Das Vosai Borom Milelu. Why do I need all these psukim? So the Gemara explains as follows. Mai v'oimer. V'chitei mehanim milibido eraisa. I may have thought that only the Torah itself is very careful to speak in the most refined way. Aval b'drabonon, but when the Chachomim are teaching us their teachings, then loy, maybe it's not as necessary. Toshma, that's why it says v'oimer v'tivchar l'shoin arumim, that wise people, they choose their language, they choose their expressions. V'chitema, are you going to say hanemili b'drabonon, that's only when the Chachomim are teaching us things? Aval b'mila de'almo, in ordinary day-to-day talk, loy, there it's not as important to refine one's speech. That's why it says, V'oimer v'das fosai boru mileilu, that when everyone is speaking, one should speak in a chosen and refined way. Asks the Gemara, Ubi isha loiksiv ba merkav, do you never find in the Torah that a woman rode on an animal? It's only that she sat on an animal? V'oksiv v'tokom rivka. Rivka arose, v'na'ar iseo and her maidens, v'tirkavno alagmalim, and she was riding on the camels. Answers the Gemara, Hoshomishum bi'atusa digmalim urchuhu. Because camels are so high up and it's very frightening, so she wouldn't be sitting sideways on top of an animal. It was common for women when they ride on camels that they should be holding onto the camel very well with their feet separated, one on each side of the camel. And since it was common, even for the modest women, to ride camels that way, therefore it was okay to mention, to say that. V'oksiv asks the Gemara, there's another example. V'yikach Moishes ishtoi vezbonov. Moishe took his wife and children and sons, v'yarkivim ala chamoir, and he rode them, he put them onto the donkey. So you see that even though it's referring to his wife as well, it says v'yarkivim. Answers the Gemara, Hosom Mishum Bonov Urcho. The word Markiv, the word that it says Vatarkiveu, is referring to, the words Vayarkivim are referring to his sons, not to his wife. Asks the Gemara of Oksiv, there's another pasuk in Shmuel that says, Vahoyo Hiroi Cheves Alachamur. When Avigail was coming to beseech David Amelech on behalf of her husband, it says that she was Reicheves, she was riding on the donkey. Answers the Gemara, Hosom Mishum Biatusa Delaila Urchahu, because it was nighttime, and she was afraid not to be holding on to the donkey properly. Therefore, the position that she was riding it was not sitting, rather riding, and it was okay. For Ibo Isema, or you could explain, Mishum Biatusa Delaila Leka. It's not that she was afraid of the night. Rather, mishum biatusa de David ikka. She was in a state of trembling. She was afraid of meeting the king David HaMelech, and therefore she had to sit in a very secure position. David, it could be that it wasn't even the fright of David HaMelech that made her ride this way. Mishum biatusa de har ikka, because she was going up or down a mountain, and therefore she was more afraid and she had to sit that way. Asks the Gemara, so you said before, we brought these the numerous psukim, where there's 8 letters, 9 letters, 10 letters, 16 letters, all talking about the word tohir, trying to avoid the word tuma. But does the Torah never use the term tomi? Of course it does. Whenever the amount of letters it takes to say the more refined expression, and the saying the less refined expression is the same amount of letters, mishtoi belosh nakia, the Torah will choose to use a refined term. Kol heichad an efficient mili, but if saying it in a more refined way means more letters, mishtoi belosh nktzara, then the Torah will say it in a short, concise, more concise version. And even though we saw before that the Torah goes out of its way to add on more letters in order to say it in a more refined way, so once the Torah has to do that just in order to teach us this concept of speaking in a refined way. But we saw the Pasuk did it in a few ways, in a few times. The Gemara, the Mefarshim, the Rishonim here explain why that's mentioned, why we find all those Psukim that the Torah went out of its way to say even more letters, to speak in a refined way. But the general rule is that unless it's shorter, or unless it's the same amount of letters to say in a more refined way, then we'll say it in a refined way. Otherwise, we'll use the shorter term. It was either Rav Huna in the name of Rav or in the name of Rav Meir. La'olam yeshane odom, a person should always teach the Talmidei to his students derech katzara, in a short and concise form, not lengthy, not to say things in a long way, because they remember it for less time. And whenever the amount of letters you have to use are the same, whether you use this type of expression or this type of expression, mishtoi beloshen kovod, you should use the more honorable and respectable terms. Asks the Gemara, we're going back now to the Pasuk that we mentioned at the top of this Omud with Avigail. It says that the Pasuk says, V'hoyohi roi cheves ala chamur, that she was riding on the donkey. Why couldn't it say Yosheves? Yosheves and Reicheves is the same amount of letters. V'horicheves v'yosheves chiadodinenu. And since it's the same amount of letters, why don't you say the more refined way of Reicheves, of Yosheves? Ukaoma Reicheves, and nonetheless, the Torah chooses to say Reicheves, says the Gemara, Reicheves ksiv. If you actually look in the Tanakh inside, in Shmuel, you'll see that the word Reicheves is written without a vav, and therefore it's one letter shorter than Yosheves, that's written with a vav, and that could be written with a vav. And Rashi here asks that Reicheves, Yosheves, could also be written without the vav, and then it's again the same. And Rashi says that the reason that the Torah writes Reicheves without the vav is just in order to teach us with this letter less to always write, to always teach in a short and concise manner. Continues the Gemara. And now we're going to have a few incidents where the way people spoke actually reflected on who they were. Hani Trei Talmidi. There were these two students, Dehava Yosve Kamei Derav, they were sitting in front of Rav. Chad Omar, one said, Shavisinon Hai Shmaitza, this study or this limud we're just learning now made us tired. Kedover Acher Mesankon. Mesankon means tired. It tired us like a dover acher, the other thing. And dover acher actually is the way that a refined way of referring to a swine, to a pig. And this Talmud, he said, we became tired like a dover acher. Not a very refined way of saying things. V'chad omer shevisinon hai shmeitza k'gedim nesankon, that this study made us tired like a kid. V'loi ishtoi rav behadi deheich. And Rav then refused to speak to that student who actually said he was tired like the Dover Achir. It was an unrefined way of speaking, Rav did not want to speak to that student. Continues the Gemara, Hanitrei Talmidi, there were these two students, Davios v'Kameida Hillel. They were sitting in front of Hillel. V'chad minayu Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. One of them was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. V'omri lo, others say that Kameida Rebbe, that the two students were actually sitting not in front of Hillel, they were sitting in front of Rebbe. V'chad minayu Rabbi Yochanan, and one of them was Rabbi Yochanan. Chad Omar, and it's obviously the tzaddik of these two Talmidim, which is either Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai or Rabbi Yochanan, depending where the story was. Mipnei ma boitzrin b'tayra. Why is it that when we harvest grapes, then we have to make sure to use kelim, utensils that are toir? V'ein moiskin b'tayra. But when harvesting olives, it's not necessary to harvest them with toir kelim. And the reason is because when oil, the little bit of dampness that comes out of the olives when harvesting them is not something we need or want, and therefore the olives have not been touched by one of the seven liquids in a fashion that we actually want and appreciate those liquids, and therefore they're not susceptible to become tomei even when touched by a utensil that's not tohir. However, the juice that comes out of grapes is already the grape juice or the wine process, something that we want and we're okay with. And therefore, this liquid touches the grapes. And since we're okay with that, it's as if the grapes have been touched by liquids and now they are susceptible to becoming tomei. And therefore, if they touch kelim that are not toir, they will become tomei. That's the answer to this question. But the term of the question that they used, that this Chad Omar, that this person used, was why do we harvest grapes, betara, and we don't harvest olives, betara? The word tumah wasn't mentioned. The Chad Omar, but this other Talmud, he said, Mipneima boitzrin betara, why do we use toyer kalim when harvesting grapes? Umayskin betumah. And he used the word tumah. Instead of saying ein moiskin b'tayra, he said moiskin b'tumah, that when we harvest the olives, we can use tomei kelim. And Omar and the Rebbe said, the Rebbe was either Hillel or the Rebbe was Rebbe, muftachani bazer, this Talmud, which was either Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai or Rabbi Yochanan, who used the more refined term, it's guaranteed to me, shemayra hirabi Yisrael, he's going to become a teacher in Klal Yisrael. It wasn't even a few days, it didn't take long till he started ruling and teaching in Klal Yisrael. Continues the Gemara, Hani Tlosa Kahani. There were these three Kohanim, and we know that every week on Shabbos they would distribute the Lechem Aponim to all the Kohanim, and every Kohen would get a little piece of Lechem Aponim. Chad Omar, one of these Kohanim said, Chad Omar Luhu, Higiani Kapul. I got the amount of lechem upon him like the size of a bean. V'chad Omar, another Kohen said, Higi'ani kezayis, I got the size of an olive. V'chad Omar, and another Kohen said, Higi'ani kezonov halato, I got like the tail of a lizard. Bodku Acharov, they investigated behind on the ancestry of this Kohen, who spoke somewhat derogatory terms. He referred to this lechem upon him piece as the size of the tail of a lizard. Umotzu boi shemetz psul, and they found that his mother was a chalola and he was not allowed to serve in the Beis Hamikdash. Asks the Gemara, v'ha'in boitkin minam ezbe'echo lemayla. Do we not know the rule that any Kohen, before he starts serving in the Beis Hamikdash, there was a special Beis Din that would check to make sure that the whole lineage is kosher and is allowed to serve? And once they start serving in the Beis Hamikdash, we do not investigate their yichus, their ancestry again. Why over here did they look into it? And indeed they found out that they made a mistake the first time, but what gave them permission to look into it? Says the Gemara, the first answer of the Gemara is, Loi teima shemetz psul. You're right. They didn't find that there was a psul in his ancestry and that was the issue. No, there was a different issue. Elo'ema shachatz psul. What stopped him from being allowed to continue doing the avodah is not that there was something in his ancestry that was questionable. Rather, there was haughtiness. Shachatz is haughtiness. There was haughtiness and he disgraced certain parts of the korbonis and the avodah, and at that point on, he was not allowed to do the avodah anymore. The other answer in the Gemara is Shani Hosam to Iu de Ira Nafshe. It's true that a regular Kohen, once he starts working on the Mizbeach, we do not investigate any further. However, this Kohen, he himself compromised on himself by speaking this way. Him speaking this way told everybody, just a minute, there might be something wrong with me. And they decided to check, and indeed they found they made a mistake. Continues the Gemara. Hahu Armo, there was this Armo, it was a guy. To have a solik va'ochil psochim b'Yerushalayim. He cheated his way into Yerushalayim, or more accurately, he cheated his way into a group of Klal Yisrael when they were eating Korban Pesach, and he ate a piece of the Korban Pesach. A guy is not allowed to eat Korban Pesach. But he made his way into one of these groups and ate Korban Pesach. Omar, he said, when at some point he came to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who wasn't even in Yerushalayim, we'll soon see Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira was in Netzivin, and this guy came to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and asked him a question. He said, Omar, it says in the Pasuk, it says in the Pasuk, Kol ben Nechor, any stranger, lo yoichal boy, is not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. Kol ore lo yoichal boy, anyone who hasn't been circumcised is not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. Va'ano, and I'm a guy, hoko achilna mishufra shufra, I ate from the choicest part of the Korban Pesach. Omar le Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, he says, did they at least feed you with the fat tail of the Korban Pesach? Omar Le, so this guy said, Loi, no. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira told him, Kisalkas Lasan, when you go back to Yerushalayim next time, Eimeluhu, say to them, Sofuli me'alyo, give me from the fat tail. Kisolik, next time he went up to Yerushalayim on Erev Pesach, Omar Lui said, Me'alya sofuli, I've paid like all of you have paid. Why don't you give me from the choicest part? Give me from the tail. Omar, they said to him, Alya, the tail you want? Lekavoya solka. Everybody knows that the tail doesn't get eaten, it gets burnt on the Mizbeach. Omar Lui, they said to him, Man Omar Lachahochi, who gave you this idea of asking for the tail? Omar Luhui said to them, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, God Ladoi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira told me to ask for the tail. Opa, so they realized, Omar, they said, my Haida, come on, what's going on? Something's fishy here. Who's this person in front of us? Bodku, they investigated Basrei after him to see who he was. Vashkechu de Armo, they saw that he was an Armo, he was a guy. Vakatlu, and they killed him, and the Mefarshim discussed why he had to be executed, but that was his punishment. Shalchu le Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So they sent a message to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Shalom lecha Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Peace unto you, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Da'at b'netzivin. You're sitting in a place of netzivin. Umatzudoscho, but your net prusa is bespread b'Yerushalayim all the way to Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira himself didn't have the ability, for whatever reason, to kill him. So he orchestrated that he should get killed that way. Continues the Gemara. Rav Kahana, Cholash Rav Kahana was very weak. Shadruo Rabbonon, Rabbi Yeshua Bereidu Rav Idi. So the Chachomim sent Rabbi Yeshua Bereidu Rav Idi, Omru Le, and they said to him, Zil, go bedoik my dine, find out what's the state of Rav Kahana. Also, so Rabbi Yeshua Bereidu Rav Idi came to where Rav Kahana was, Ashke Chede Noch Nafshe, and he realized that he found that he'd passed away. Kor'e Lilavushe, he tore his garments like somebody mourning does. He didn't want to shock all the other people where they would realize that his clothes are torn like somebody in mourning. They'll get a shock too quickly. It's dangerous to give somebody a shock like that. So he turned his garment round that the tear should be behind him. However, he was crying and he came to the people and slowly they would realize something's not right. Omru Le, they said to him, Noch Nafshe, has Rav Kahana passed away? Omar Lui said to them, Ano loiko amino, I didn't say anything. I'm not saying anything. Umoitzi diba hu ksil, somebody who utters an evil report is considered a fool. And they just came slowly and gradually to realize that Rav Kahana had passed away, but he did not want to be the one to utter from his mouth such a report. Continues the Gemara. Yeichanon chakuko. Nofak l'kriyosa, this Yechanon Chakuka, he went out to the villages to check on his crops. Kiosa, when he came back and the people asked him, Omrule, they asked him, Chitin nasu yofis, are the wheats nice? Did they come out good? Omrulem, he didn't want to tell them the chitim didn't come out good. He wanted to speak in a refined way. So he said, Sa'irim, the animal foods, the barley, Nasuyofis, that came out nice. So even though he tried to avoid saying that the chitim, the wheat, didn't come out nice, but the way that he said it was not as refined as it could have and should have been. And Omrulei, they responded to him cynically saying, Tseu Basir, if you're coming with that type of news, then go and tell the susim and the chamirim, the horses and the donkeys, because it's their food. You go and tell them that their food came out nice. It says in the pasuk, vasoirim vatevim, the wheat and the barley, sorry, and the straw is lesusim ulorechesh, is animals' fodder. So my havalei lemeima, the Gemara asks, what should this Yechanun Chakukah, what should he have said? He didn't say that the chitim didn't come out good. He said that the soirim came out good. What would have been an even more preferable way for him to respond? So that answers the Gemara, ishtakeid nasu chitim yofis. He should have responded, last year the wheat came out good. Inami, or he should have said, adoshim, which is food for people, human food, nasu yofis. The lentils came out good. They shouldn't have spoken about how nice the animal food came out. Continues the Gemara. And here we have an interesting story. We have Rav. Rav obviously had a father and a mother. Who was his father? His father was called Aivu. Aivu had a brother called Rav Chia. They shared the same father. Rav's mother was called Imo. And his mother, this Rav's mother, Imo, was the daughter of whoever it was, but his mother, this mother's mother, was in a second marriage with the father of Aivu and Rav Chia, which means that Rav Chia and Aivu were brothers from the same father. Rav Chia and Ima were stepbrothers. They shared the same mother, but not the same father. The father of Rav Chia and Aivu, Rashi says here, was actually Rav Acha. In other places, Rashi says something else. But there was a story here that Rav, his parents were actually Aivu, which was Rav Chia's brother from the same father, and Ima, which was Rav Chia's sister from a different father. They just shared the same mother. It was a stepsister of Rav Chia. This Aivu and this Ima, they got married, and their son was Rav. That means that Rav's father, Aivu, was a brother of Rav Chia, and Rav's mother, Ima, was a stepsister, was a half-sister, shouldn't say a stepsister, was a half-sister to Rav Chia. He was related to both. So Rav Bar Achva de Rav Chia, Rav, the son of the brother of Rav Chia, called Aivu, Ubar, he was the son of Ochsei, the half-sister of Rav Chia. Kisolik Lhosom, when Rav came to Eretz Yisrael, Omar Le Rav Chia said to Rav, Aivu, my brother Aivu, your father Rav, Kayim, is he still alive? Omar Le. So Rav responded, Ima Kaimus, why are you asking if my father Aivu, your brother, is alive? Why don't you ask if my mother Ima, which is your sister, is alive? Omar Le. So he said to him, Ima Kaimus, is my sister, my half-sister Ima, still alive? Omar Le. So Rav says, Aivu Kaim, you're asking about your sister. Is your brother still alive? So either way, he didn't want to say that they've both passed away. So he sort of just took them from one side to the next. He bounced them around with the questions in order he should slowly and gradually understand on his own. Omar Le Lishameh, so Rav Chia said to the servant, or to the shamash, the one that was serving him, Chaloitz li min olai, first of all, take off my shoes. Somebody in mourning has to take off their shoes. V'hoylich kli acharai lebeis hamerchatz, and bring my clothes after me to the bathhouse. Shema minotlas, and from here we see three halachas. Shema minot, number one, we see Ovel Osur Benilas Asandal. Somebody mourning has to take off their shoes. Or Shema minot, we see another halacha, Shmua Rechoika. When a person receives a delayed report about the decease of one of his close relatives, as in this case it was a while after they passed away that Rav Chia heard about it, Eina Neheges Ela Yom Echad, one only has to be in mourning that one day. But not only that, he doesn't even have to be in mourning the whole day. Even just part of the day is sufficient. And indeed, he went straight after he took off his shoes. He'd been yotze what his mourning. He'd done his required mourning, and then he could go to the bathhouse after that. Continues the Gemara, Hahu de Omar, there was this person that was always saying, Dunu dini, you want to judge my case? Only judge it in a court, only with Dayonim. People said, Shema Mino, it's apparent, Midon Ka'osi, that this person comes as a descendant from the tribe of Don, Dechsiv, and regarding Don, it says in the Pasuk, Don Yodin, Amri, that the tribe of Don is going to be the one who is going to be judging the nation, Ka'achat Shifte Yisrael, as one of the nations of Klal Yisrael, one of the tribes in Klal Yisrael. Continues the Gemara, Ahu Dehava Ka'ozil V'Omar. There was this person that came and said, Akef Yama, on the shores of the sea, Asisni Birosa. If I could, I would establish a palace on the shores of the sea. Bodku, they investigated about who he came, where he comes from. Ashkechu Dumizvulun Ka'osu, they saw that he came, they found that he came from the tribe of Zvulun. Tichsiv, on the tribe of Zvulun, it says, Zvulun Lechoif Yamim Yishkoin, that the tribe of Zvulun are going to dwell on the shores of the sea, and this person being a descendant of Zvulun, belonging to the tribe of Zvulun, he obviously had this tendency or this pull towards the shore. And in Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next Gemara, in the next year, we're going to continue from here.